Welcome to the Calcio FC podcast, your home of Italian football culture. This week, joining me, as usual, Emmett Gates and Dan Canty and the Destination Calcio senior writers. And this week, we've had a chat with the Serie A North America CEO and managing director, Andy Mitchell. Here's what he had to say on Serie A North America promoting Serie A to become the number one European league in the States.
There's a lot of people think that to make the money and stick with the Premier League is the way to go forward. You get that a lot where people ask you about, you know, trying to stay level with Premier League.
I mean, you know, clearly today in this market, at least, they are setting the pace. You know, they've done incredibly well. Hats off to them. They've done a great job of marketing. And so, you know, for me, it's about keeping pace with the Premier League, but also staying, you know, more importantly, what I want to make sure is that we get ahead of our continental European competitors. I believe that Serie A should absolutely be the most popular continental European league in the U.S., and that's really what our goal is.
Are you confident that it, you know, Serie A can be the number one there continentally?
100%. I mean, it's neck and neck right now. And again, you know, with all due respect to our friends in Spain and Germany, nobody loves Spanish or German culture like they love Italian culture, right? So I really feel like, and there again, 6 million people a year travel to Italy. Like we are, you know, we are close kin to Italy. So I feel like by showcasing the cultural side, it really gives us a leg up and a you know, big chance to win in the market.
Big differentiator there. So
huge, massive.
Yeah,
guys, what do you think? Andy Mitchell with some points there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting is what he thinks Serie A can achieve. And I do think it is a very achievable goal, you know, considering the fact that there are a lot of, you know, second, third, fourth generation Italians living in America. Serie A has had a presence there for decades, maybe not as good as it is now, but it definitely is an achievable goal. And also, I think when you look at the other European leagues, La Liga, the Bundesliga, Liga, obviously La Liga has an advantage because of the Latino community in the States, a lot of, you know, native Spanish speakers.
So there is some competition there.
So there is some competition. But I do feel when you look at an overall package, Serie A can be the best of the rest, if you will, in terms of there's more historic teams, yeah, I believe, in Serie A than there is in La Liga or the Bundesliga. Obviously, you've got the history of great players. And if you combine that with the Americans, as I said, the second, third generation Americans.
And the affinity to the other Americans that like Italy.
Exactly. You know, as Andy Mitchell pointed out, there's 6 million Americans that go to Italy every summer. Obviously, that'll play a role. And obviously, you've got Christian Pulisic at Milan. You've got Timothy Weah and Weston McKennie at Juve. So I think that all ties in, and it's definitely a very achievable goal for Serie A to be, you know, the best continental league that's followed in the States. It's definitely, it's not pie in the sky stuff. It is definitely an achievable goal.
Yeah, no reference to Alexi Lalas there, Dan. So what do you think?
I agree with him. I mean, I think it's achievable. Realistically, the Premier League is going to operate on a completely different level. It has operated on a different level for 10-15 years now. But when it comes to the likes of La Liga and the Bundesliga and Ligue 1, I mean, I think
it's only Bayern and PSG, really. Although, I mean, there are many other greatest.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, in La Liga, I think you see in the league that obviously you got Barcelona and Real Madrid. And if you're a casual fan, those are the two clubs, you know. And I think Serie A is probably getting close at a stage where La Liga has two massive clubs, but you've got
it's a case where La Liga, Real Madrid and Barcelona are bigger than La Liga, in
they
my
are
opinion.
Bigger than
Bayern's
La Liga.
Bigger
that's
than
the
Bundesliga.
Thing, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think there is as much variety, if you want to put it like that, when it comes to like, the amount of clubs that can be appealing to casual fans in the US. Whereas in Italy, you've got the likes of Napoli and Inter Milan, AC Milan and Juventus. So I think it is achievable. I thought it was interesting that Andy pointed out that it's not just a case of here's Serie A, this, you know, we've got a lot of Italian Americans and that's why you should watch it. But it's also a case of we have great players who plays for the US and play in Italy. That's why you should be watching. So I think it's a slightly different dynamic. You know, it's not just to follow something that your dad or your granddad or, you know, your uncle might have followed, but it's to actually generating interest in American football, first and foremost. American soccer, sorry, I should say.
It's all about new eyeballs.
Yeah.
And I guess another point that Andy brought up, which we're going to have a look at right now, is about the World Cup and FIFA Club World Cup coming up.
I mean, it's just an incredible opportunity for us because just so many eyes will be on the world of football. There's an estimate out there that the interest in the sport grows by 10x in the home market. And so, you know, what we really have to do is think about how do we capture an outsized percentage of the market share as it grows. So that's why we're really focused on these foundational elements, you know, trying to get established on social, trying to grow our email list, really just trying to grow the brand here so that when people come out of the World Cup and realize that this is an awesome sport, and, you know, though they may have been focused on American football or baseball or basketball, like, this is a sport to watch. And so as they look for the clubs and the leagues they want to follow, I want to make sure we put ourselves in a great position to grab that market share. And again, I think by having, you know, let's hope that both Italy and the U.S. do well. I think, you know, our fortunes are tied to both of those countries' successes in a lot of ways. And so, you know, my expectation is that Christian Pulisic is going to be on the cover of every magazine, every newspaper, every billboard. And so the fact that he is playing in our league, and hopefully will continue to play in our league, we have every reason to believe that he's going to be at AC Milan for a very long time. You know, and Weston McKennie, we have great personalities that I think that really drafting on the success of the U.S. men's national team and how far they go will really help us kind of take those next big steps in this market. Not to mention, you know, hopefully Italy has a big, you know, a nice run in the tournament, because those between the U.S. and Italy, those are the players that are, you know, obviously make up Serie A on the Italian side. And so, you know, the better that they do, I think, you know, the better our fortunes are.
Sure, and no pressure on yourself, Andy, but the pressure to get maybe Nico Barella next to Pulisic on the front cover of all the big publications over there. Just make
done.
Sure that happens. Yeah,
easy.
Done.
You know, I'm just waiting for the Italy-US final, and then we'll be set.
Andy, coming up with another few good points there. Italy making the final the last time there was a World Cup in the States. We all remember those images, getting there, and we spoke to Arrigo Sacchi actually this week for his birthday, Emmett, 79. So he was kind enough to give us an hour of his time. So those images, the connection is still there. They will be playing those images, the replays of what happened in that final all over the TV. They're going to go back into the nostalgia of USA 94. There's a lot of pieces that, you know, there's the puzzle is there, and there's another pathway to promote again. One of the big factors is Italy need to make the World Cup. So thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic when you look at it. We said off air. So when the World Cup first got to the US in 94, mm-hmm. Serie A was at the peak of its powers. And now that the World Cup is going back to the US, Serie A is effectively playing catch up, as we said earlier, with the Premier League. But it's a massive opportunity. It's a massive opportunity for the US because realistically, this is make or break for the game over there. You know, in 94, I remember, as I'm sure you both do, everyone said that within a couple of years, the US would be, you know, the center of football attention. And it hasn't turned out to be like that.
They didn't even have the MLS going at the time.
Well, that's the thing. One thing is having the likes of Maradona, Batistuta, and Baggio playing on your doorstep for a month. But then if you end up having to watch New England Revolution against Los Angeles Galaxy weren't even formed. New England Revolution against
that
them.
I think there was the
Metro Stars.
The New Jersey Metro Stars.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
I think the most recent bit of glory they had was Pele in the 70s.
And well, Giorgio Chinaglia famously left Lazio to play for the New York Cosmos.
Yeah.
Well, that's the big one that they'll be talking about all through the World Cup.
Yeah. But no, so it's there is definitely an element of this is make or break for American interest in football. But it's also a massive opportunity for Serie A because, as I said earlier, you know, you have the likes of Pulisic playing for AC Milan, where I play for Juventus. So I think that if they can sort of channel interest in an American player who plays for Serie A, as Andy said, they can become the sort of the flag bearers, if you like, of this new Serie A wave into the US. But I think I made a good point in the interview. They said it's crucial that the US and Italy both do well. And there is no guarantees of, you know, of neither at the minute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Italy need to get to the World Cup. Yeah. You know, they haven't qualified for the last two.
Yeah.
Since they won it in 2006, they've won one single World Cup game in 20 years. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's against the traditional bogey team that just can't beat them in tournaments, which is England.
Yeah.
And so that was a given. England massively underperformed as well.
Yeah.
In their prime with Lampard and the rest of them. So, you know, it was totally unexpected.
And when you look at the US, and Mauricio Pochettino said 2 weeks ago that they've got everything they need to become number one in the world in 5 years, but then they go and lose to Panama and Canada in like the week later. So it's difficult. Look, I think the way American sport is structured, it's heavily focused on being, not just being the best, but watching best quality there is no relegation. You watch the NFL, you have there's lots of stake, but you have so many narratives. You know, they don't tolerate mediocrity. You know, they'd rather be bad so that they can then dip into the draft and pick the stars of tomorrow than be, you know, a mid-table team, so to speak.
Well, coming from an Australian perspective, AFL, there's nothing wrong with a bit of tanking here and there to get the best player.
Yeah, you will know about it. Honestly, I do think that that's what Serie A is fighting against as well, because, you know, the NFL dominates the airwaves in the US. The NBA is close second. And then you got the MLB, which is basically suffering from what cricket is suffering here. You know, it's like the demographic are changing. It's not as interesting, or it's not perceived to be as interesting as it used to be. So there is definitely a gap in the market for football, and there is definitely a gap in the market for Italian football over there. But the Premier League is the big elephant in the room there.
It is, but I don't see any reason to try and emulate what the Premier League's doing. No. There has to be a front runner, and as Andy says in this interview, that he's quite happy to have the Premier League, the big sort of naval vessel that everyone else can sort of follow. There needs to be a premium league up there to help promote the other leagues. Yeah. And that is it. What else did Andy Mitchell have to say?
So growing social media, Instagram's been a main focus of the New York office.
It has. And, you know, we really try to take a complementary approach to our global Instagram channel. So, for instance, we do a lot of cultural coverage. We cover the American players and the Mexican players. And we had Tayshaun Buchanan, I think he's hurt now, but, you know, we did a lot of coverage for the Mexico market from, you know, with Tayshaun. Also, we've launched a new franchise that I'm particularly proud of called Weekend Calcio. So every week we do a deep dive on Instagram about one of the key narratives coming out of the weekend or previewing the next weekend. So yesterday's feature was about previewing the big Coppa Italia match today. And so it's been really good for us to kind of go a little bit deeper on a particular topic, whether it be, again, like a game preview, player profiles. It just gives us a little bit more room to breathe and go a little deeper on a topic.
Is there anything that Serie A and Italy learned from you guys in terms of what they do now, or in terms of social media or media?
You know, they're excellent. They've got a guy who heads up digital there, Pierre Tamagra, who's excellent at his job, came from Juventus. I learned from them. Like, they have the background in football. You know, they spend all day, every day, thinking about how to showcase this league on social. So we really draft on their success because, again, they're so good at what they do.
Bringing Serie A matches to the U.S. in terms of non-summer tours or FIFA Club World Cups. Is that a common talking point with Serie A North America, trying to get Serie A teams there?
I mean, it's something that obviously, you know, selfishly, it would be great for us to have clubs playing on our soil. You know, that's not part of my scope. That's a big question strategically for the league. And it's not just Serie A, right? La Liga's made public proclamations that they want to play matches here. The Premier League's been talking about it for a long time. So the question is who's going to be first? We would obviously love to be first, but, you know, it's a complicated formula between the home fans, U.S. soccer. Like, there's a lot of different parties to kind of get on board for this. So, you know, those are the folks in Milan who are thinking about that and working hard at that. And I'm just cheering for them.
So Andy Mitchell saying there that the role for Serie A North America is just to be the public relations arm, more or less, of what's happening in Italy, in Milan, that office there. They've basically got Andy and his team. Now they've expanded the team. They're running the Instagram channel. They're being more cohesive, more articulate with their English speaking audiences, something that Serie A has lacked severely in the past few years. And now at least they've addressed that issue. So that's a big boost. They've got the Club World Cup. They've got the World Cup coming up. They've got Americans playing in Serie A. And we're going to see more Italians go over. Rather, we've got Lorenzo Insigne over there, even though maybe he's not going through the best patch at the moment. But there are we've seen other Italians there.
Yeah, Federico Bernardeschi went to Toronto as well.
Yeah, Giovinco went over.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of a history. And guys, potential Serie A matches going abroad, Emmett?
I mean, as you know, as you touched on in the interview, David, it's kind of, you know, stepping on toes. You know, Italians feel that it's their product and they do with it as they want. Obviously, if Serie A does want to grow and not say catch the Premier League, but they want to be the first league to take competitive games and put it in America, I just don't know, not to be Debbie Downer, but I just don't see the, for a start, they're not going to give the Milan Derby to New York or LA. It's going to be games that...
Coppa Italia?
Maybe not Coppa Italia, but around where you maybe have, say, Juve against Genoa or Inter against Bologna. I don't see the appetite for those kind of games. Like, can you really see 40,000 people going to see Monza against Venezia in Wisconsin?
Probably not those two teams. That have to be
have
to be planned, and it's complicated.
Yeah,
as Andy has
said,
because
they would have to give a full round to the states. So, in my opinion, it's, where's the appetite for the lesser teams?
Well, would it have to be a full round? Dan, do you think they could just take one game from the 10?
They could. They probably will take one game. But I hear what Emily's saying, and it's true. It's a fine line between exporting the best product, for want of a better word, and, you know, facing the fact that Italian football should be played in Italy, just like the English Premier League should be played in England.
What about the Super Cup?
Yeah, I mean, they have done that in the past. I think was it Torino and Milan?
And
was the
Milan
first one?
And Washington.
So let's define the real issue here. Italians are very hands-on when it comes to Serie A matches.
I don't think it's about Italians. I think, like, if you follow a league and, you know, clubs should be playing, like, it's a Premier League for a reason, because they're English and Welsh clubs occasionally. You should be played in England. If you want to play games in the US, Australia, New Zealand, you know, Vanuatu, to grow the profile, do it. But there are summer Flanders for that. And clubs already go over anyway.
Summer tours. And do you think the cup element of it could work a little bit easier? Because cups, European Cup, Champions League, it's always played abroad. You don't have to play it at home. There'll be a destination, Wembley or wherever it is, Warsaw for a final, Dublin, as we saw with the Europa League. So people have already been assimilated into that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Super Coppa format that we see now in Saudi Arabia, there's four Italian teams and there's a semi-final and a final. That could work in the States because, you know, more likely than not, you're going to have Juve, Inter, Milan, maybe, you know, Atalanta, Napoli. There's big fan bases already there. They don't really have to sell it that much as they do now in Saudi Arabia. And the Saudis weren't happy when Atalanta and Fiorentina and Lazio turned up last season. Where's Juve and Milan?
You also have to consider that a cup format is a lot easier to understand for American viewers than a league, a round robin league, because, you know, they are not.
They don't
have that. It's all about playoffs in whichever sport it is in the US.
They might not take heed of what it actually means for a Serie A game.
Well, exactly.
And so it may be about just dipping their toe or becoming trailblazers. We'll see which angle they want to go with. Can Serie A become the first league to play abroad? If you want to watch the rest of the interview with Andy Mitchell, here it is.
Okay, well, making time for Destination Calcio today, we've got the CEO and Managing Director of Serie A North America, Andy Mitchell. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
And you're based in New York right now?
Right now. Okay. Right in the heart of Manhattan.
In Manhattan, I can see the walls behind you, the buildings, the bricks of New York. Can get that smell back in my nostrils here. The Serie A made in Italy behind you.
So the smell is not quite as significant as it will be in a few months.
It's a nicer smell, or?
No, it's a much worse smell in the summer.
Okay, but when you open the window, maybe you can smell pizza coming from Little Brooklyn, yeah?
We had three pizzerias on the block, so.
Well, that's awesome. You've got a very close proximity to the good stuff. Okay, so some of our viewers won't really know too much about what Serie A is doing in North America. You are the maverick that's getting it all happening. You've been there for how long? 2 years now. I'll let you tell everyone a little bit about yourself. Managing director, CEO. Just explain a little bit about yourself.
Well, great. Well, thanks, David. So, I've been in this job for about 2 years. I do not come from a football background. My prior job was I worked at Facebook in the media division for about 12 years and was at CNN for 15 years before that. So, relatively new to me, but this is a media business just like any other media business and just like all the partners I've been working with in prior roles. And so, the way I think about our business is across five key dimensions. Number one is audience development. Just how do we get more people watching Serie A? It could be full length matches on CBS or Paramount Plus. It could be our social clips. We have a weekly email newsletter called Calcio Weekly, where we give a nice little roundup about the week's news. People can sign up at calcioweekly.com. So we want to meet people where they are and give them content in whatever way they want it. So, my job is to, one, try and figure out the best kind of content that we can create for this market, and then two, find distribution. Our second key pillar of our business here is brand development. So, as the Calcio devoted, we know that this is an incredibly strong league. We've got great players, great brands. But in the U.S., we've got a ways to go to be as well known as we deserve, given the results on the pitch and the great players and brands that we have in the league. So just how do we grow the Serie A brand here in North America? Number three is building a commercial business. So we are working to bring on regional sponsors. How can we activate global sponsors in this region? Number four is corporate social responsibility, CSR. We've got partnerships with South Bronx United, Street Soccer USA. So how can we just have Serie A be a beneficial member of the community here in New York? And lastly, and very important, so last but not least, as we say, we are here to support the clubs in anything they want to do in this market. So whether it be thinking about Inter and Juve, their plans for the Club World Cup. We had Juve here a few weeks ago doing an activation with a New Jersey launch. Even the smaller clubs, we help them with creating content in this market. So, our role is definitely to support the clubs in anything they want to do in this market.
Sure. And I guess as part of your function with the editorial and marketing and commercial partnerships, what is the main thing you use to try and lure in new eyeballs? Is it the affinity with the Italian culture?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the European football is very big in this market, obviously. And so when I think about how do we differentiate Serie A, I think the Serie A devotees know tactically why it's different, but that's 99% of people watching a match certainly Americans, wouldn't really understand the nuances on the pitch. So Americans love Italy. I mean, I'm one of those Americans who love Italy before having this job. I traveled a number of times, both personally and professionally in Italy. I love Italian food, I love Italian culture, and this is really how we can appeal to Americans and differentiate ourselves. So we did some research recently. There are 51 million Americans in the US alone that have an affinity for Italian culture, and 6 million Americans every year travel to Italy. So how do we take advantage of those two target audiences and really grow the brand and grow the audience of Calcio?
Yeah, well, I think we've covered that on Destination Calcio recently. So if you haven't seen it, go and check that out. But so your primary audiences are Canada, Mexico, as well in North America,
right,
obviously.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
And do you penetrate the Spanish speaking market at all, or is it mainly in English?
Mainly in English. We're actually gonna do a test here in the next few weeks about doing more Spanish language content. With a couple significant Mexican players in the league, we want to test out and see if we can grow our reach into Mexico by taking advantage of those Mexican players in the same way that we do. We spend a lot of time taking advantage of the fact that Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie and Yunus Musa and Timothy Weah are all, four of the starters of the U.S. men's national team are playing in Italy. So that gives us a really good advantage in this market and, you know, a good opportunity to differentiate ourselves, to take it, you know, to draft on U.S. men's team momentum going into the World Cup.
Sure. And is it your office there in New York that is behind what we see on the Lega Serie A YouTube channel with the English spoken interviews?
You know, our YouTube channel is run out of Italy, but that is a global channel. So, you know, they create content in both English and Italian to appeal to the broadest audience.
Sure. And one thing that's always been on my mind is there's a lot of negativity for Italians that have been immersed in culture for long enough. There's plenty of positives, of course. There's the glory days. There's cultural icons that we can speak about forever. But I feel like yourself coming into Serie A and this organization, it brings a different kind of feel. Coming in fresh as you are, you're not scorned by the negative energy of the Serie A's history. Are you that kind of person that maybe Serie A was looking to attract to take on this role, do you think?
I mean, I guess I'm here, so sure. I think what was appealing was just my breadth of media experience and having worked in media businesses. And, you know, again, as I said, yes, we are a football league first and foremost, but at the end of the day, we're a media business and we're trying to grow our audience and monetize our audience. So that's really, you know, what the job is here as far as, you know, building the business in this market.
And in as much a positive way as possible, I presume.
Yeah, I'd like to believe so. And to your point, I think, you know, I've experienced some of that, you know, negativity and some of that skepticism. You know, what I take that as is people are just really passionate about this league and they believe in the league and they want it to do better. So, like, I appreciate their passion and their energy and enthusiasm and understand that, you know, in the past there may have been some frustration. But I can tell you now with the leadership of the league in Milan, the way that they're approaching global expansion in this market in particular, like everybody should be really excited with the direction of the league and the global business.
Sure, and I've just seen an announcement that's come out recently that says that Serie A's partnered with Reddit.
Yep.
So that's obviously to engage a brand new audience as well.
Exactly. As I said to the head of digital yesterday when I talked to him about something else, I said, it's great we're on Reddit, I love Reddit, and I don't have to now spread our news you know, from my anonymous handle. Like, we can be more official on that.
Everyone's got a burner account spreading the good word. So that's good to hear you got yours. So growing social media, Instagram's been a main focus of the New York office.
It has. And, you know, we really try to take a complementary approach to our global Instagram channel. So, for instance, we do a lot of cultural coverage. We cover the American players and the Mexican players. And we had Tejan Buchanan. I think he's hurt now, but, you know, we did a lot of coverage for the Mexico market from, you know, with Tejan. Also, we've launched a new franchise that I'm particularly proud of called Weekend Calcio. So every week we do a deep dive on Instagram about one of the key narratives coming out of the weekend or previewing the next weekend. So yesterday's feature was about previewing the big Coppa Italia match today. And so it's been really good for us to kind of go a little bit deeper on a particular topic, whether it be, again, like a game preview, player profiles, just gives us a little bit more room to breathe and go a little deeper on a topic.
Everyone loves a good story. And I guess that's part of your scope is storytelling, making sure those that don't really know much about it learn something new. And those that do know something about it, they can reminisce. So it's win-win, I guess.
And to that point, you know, that's the balance, right? And that's one of the challenges we have is how do you appeal to a broader audience, to the broad American audience, but at the same time, you know, engage the built-in audience that we have and, you know, continue to solidify the base.
Yeah. And I am a constant reader of the Calcio Weekly newsletter, by the way. So great work on that. As superb, as a good mix of different bits of cultural information in there, upcoming events and all that. So if you haven't read it, go and check that out. And I've also been stalking some of your Instagram accounts and seeing what you guys post as a regular stalker. So it's good mix of visuals, some stats, some historical moments, some major announcements, coaches coming in, 144,000 followers I've seen today when I last checked. So
we just got 1,000 yesterday. So thank you for having the updated number.
Well, you know, I do my research. It's part of my job. So thank you very much. I'll take that one. Serie A_North America.
Sorry, I think just one thing to be clear is, you know, we've grown more than 2x in the last 9 to 12 months. So it's been we're on a really good trajectory, and we've got some interesting and fun ideas to continue to grow that account to, you know, kind of reach scale in this market.
Yeah, it's good to see it snowballing, and it is very different. I've been immersed in the Italian media culture, and I can tell you there's a totally different feel about even the social media there compared to the English spoken. So it's so good to see that positive narrative coming out. TikTok on Serie A, I know that that's a global channel. There's only one, I believe. That's over right, 5 million now. YouTube's booming, nearly 10 million. So,
and YouTube is the number one league channel in the world.
Yeah. I've seen that. And I think that's a massive boost. It's a massive boost for the profile. I think also a caveat, though, is Premier League do pimp out their rights a lot more to the actual broadcaster will show the highlights. So, you know, for example, TNT or whoever. So, but yeah, Serie A with that global channel is a massive leg up. So is there anything that Serie A and Italy learned from you guys in terms of what they do now, or? In terms of social media or media?
You know, they're excellent. They've got a guy who heads up digital there, Pierre Tamagra, who's excellent in his job, came from Juventus. I learned from them. Like, they have the background in football. You know, they spend all day, every day, thinking about how to showcase this league on social. So we really draft on their success because, again, they're so good at what they do.
And I guess in future, as North America grows with Serie A, you could piggyback off each other. And I guess as the brand becomes more global, we hope it continues to grow. So that's a big positive. The big one, World Cup USA 94, it was, you know, 32 years ago. World Cup 26, just, 15 months or so away.
Well, we have Club World Cup coming sooner than that.
Of course, yeah. We've got all these events and summer tours as well that you've had constantly with Serie A teams coming over. So there's always that influx of, another injection of Serie A. So that falls within your first 3-4 years of you getting this going in New York. Do you see that as a big bonus to sort of help grow?
I mean, it's just an incredible opportunity for us because just so many eyes will be on the world of football. There's an estimate out there that the interest in the sport grows by 10x in the home market. And so, you know, what we really have to do is think about how do we capture an outsized percentage of the market share as it grows. So that's why we're really focused on these foundational elements, trying to get established on social, trying to grow our email list, really just trying to grow the brand here so that when people come out of the World Cup and realize that this is an awesome sport, and, you know, though they may have been focused on American football or baseball or basketball, like, this is a sport to watch. And so as they look for the clubs and the leagues they want to follow, I want to make sure we put ourselves in a great position to grab that market share. And again, I think by having, you know, let's hope that both Italy and the U.S. do well. I think, you know, our fortunes are tied to both of those countries' successes in a lot of ways. And so, you know, my expectation is that Christian Pulisic is going to be on the cover of every magazine, every newspaper, every billboard. And so the fact that he is playing in our league, and hopefully will continue to play in our league, we have every reason to believe that he's going to be at AC Milan for a very long time. And Weston McKennie, we have great personalities that I think that really drafting on the success of the U.S. men's national team and how far they go will really help us kind of take those next big steps in this market. Not to mention, you know, hopefully Italy has a big, a nice run in the tournament, because those between the U.S. and Italy, those are the players that are, you know, obviously make up Serie A on the Italian side. And so, you know, the better that they do, I think, you know, the better our fortunes are.
Sure, and no pressure on yourself, Andy, but the pressure to get maybe Nico Barella next to Pulisic on the front cover of all the big publications over there. Just make sure that happens. Yeah, easy. Done.
You know, I'm just waiting for the Italy-US final, and then we'll be set.
Yeah, I don't want to put you in a predicament where you have to choose between one or the other, because I've been there with Australia and Italy in 2006. It could be a golden moment in terms of a pathway to promote the league even further and Italian football in general, considering that Italy made the final in the US all those years ago, the icons, the two Badgers were there. Eddie Gorsucki's the coach. Everyone still remembers that. I'm sure those images will be everywhere with Brazil once it starts. So that's going to be amazing. Another thing to sort of ride on the coattails of. Bringing Serie A matches to the US in terms of non-summer tours or FIFA Club World Cups, is that a common talking point with Serie A North America, trying to get Serie A teams there?
I mean, it's something that obviously, you know, selfishly, it would be great for us to have clubs playing on our soil. You know, that's not part of my scope. That's a big question strategically for the league. And it's not just Serie A, right? La Liga's made public proclamations that they want to play matches here. The Premier League's been talking about it for a long time. So the question is who's going to be first? We would obviously love to be first, but... You know, it's a complicated formula between the home fans, U.S. soccer. Like, there's a lot of different parties to kind of get on board for this. So, you know, that's those are the folks in Milan who are thinking about that and working hard at that. And I'm just cheering for them.
Yeah, well, good luck to them because it's a touchy subject. You've got Italians back home that you would think you're stepping on their toes by taking it away from them to sort of transpose into another market. But to grow it at a global level, I guess dangling the carrot to an American audience would be a big positive. So the pros and cons are there. The domestic TV rights are a big conversation as well, and whether there's a global app, and I know that that's not within your remit as well, but there's a lot of people think that to make the money and stick with the Premier League is the way to go forward. Do you get that a lot where people ask you about, you know, trying to stay level with Premier League?
I mean, you know, clearly today in this market, at least, they are setting the pace. You know, they've done incredibly well. Hats off to them. They've done a great job of marketing. And so, you know, for me, it's about keeping pace with the Premier League, but also staying, you know, more importantly, what I want to make sure is that we get ahead of our continental European competitors. I believe that Serie A should absolutely be the most popular continental European league in the US. And that's really what our goal is.
Sure. I've always thought that launching an app where you could only just subscribe and watch Serie A on an app, we're actually cancelling out a big market in terms of like window shoppers that are channel surfing because they're not going to see the product if it's not 100%. On TV.
I mean, you know, in this country, MLS is now behind a subscription wall just for their content, where we are part of Paramount Plus. And to your point, like, there are people that subscribe to Paramount Plus that may not be soccer fans, but they may be interested. And so it's part of their subscription. And but I think, you know, MLS right now has their matches behind a subscription that's only for MLS. And I think it's hard to grow with casual fans if you're asking them to pay for every match.
Yeah, yeah. Casual fans are less inclined to go over there. And, you know, we can speak on behalf of being a fan as well, because we're fans as well. We subscribe to different things, and you can't afford to subscribe to every single thing. You need some things just on the telly. And I guess... do you feel as though you're in a battle mainly just with the other continental leagues to sort of get, now that you're in, we have a presence thanks to you guys that in the English speaking space, you confident that it, you know, Serie A can be the number one there continentally?
100%. I mean, it's neck and neck right now. And again, you know, with all due respect to our friends in Spain and Germany, nobody loves Spanish or German culture like they love Italian culture, right? So I really feel like, and they're, again, 6 million people a year travel to Italy. Like, we are, you know, we are close kin to Italy. So I feel like by showcasing the cultural side, it really gives us a leg up and a you know, big chance to win in the market.
Big differentiator there. So
huge, massive.
Yeah, and talking about other. The Social Football Summit, for example, do Serie A North America actually get to those as well?
Yeah, I was there at Stadio Olimpico last year. Great fun, super interesting panels. They do a really nice job. So, yeah, I mean, we try to be a part of the global conversation, you know, as much as possible.
Yeah, I guess a lot of those are in English as well, and those interested can actually get on the Social Football Summit website and go and check those out. Culturally, from your experience, what would be the most supported Serie A team in the US? Any ideas?
You know what? I mean, AC Milan has done a nice job here because, one, with their American owners, they've invested in the market. They came here last year as part of Soccer Champions Tour. Obviously, having Pulisic makes them you know, an important club in the market. In fact, I went to see the U.S. men's national team game in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago, and it was a doubleheader. So the U.S. played Panama, and Canada and Mexico played. And between Pulisic and Jimenez, you could have said it looked like an AC Milan game. There's a lot of people wearing Milan. But that being said, I mean, you know, Juventus has a long history, and they're a well-known brand in the market. Inter, just by the fact of all their success, they're well-known in the market. I get so many people travel to Rome, so Roma is pretty well-known. As a New Yorker, our former striker, I support New York City Football Club, and our former striker who won MLS Cup and the Golden Boot is now playing at Lazio, so a lot of New Yorkers follow him. A lot of Americans study in Florence, so they know Fiorentina. So there's really a real range of clubs that have an opportunity here in this market. And that's just to name a few.
Yeah, well, Castellanos at Lazio is doing well now as well. It's good to see. The next question I have to ask is, Destination Calcio being the official broadcaster of Serie B, just a shameless name drop, what is the most supported Serie B team? From like Palermo, Bari, Sampdoria even, there'll be a few of those around here and there, Sassuolo maybe.
You know, I have no idea.
I think
Palermo is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, the fact they're owned by City Football Group gives them a, you know, they're gonna do well eventually, just because of the scouting network and being part of that overall network. And then Palermo, selfishly, from an American perspective and the culture of Palermo and how well known Palermo is known, I think they would be a great opportunity. But you know what? Every June, tell me who's going up, and I'll think about the opportunities to showcase them. In fact, this year, right, having Parma Venezia come up, and Como, right, amazing. Three really great markets for us to reach into. Como with the celebrity angle, right, so many American Hollywood celebrities spend time in Como. It's been real great having those, you know, those clubs up.
And do you think that Italy as a national team is more supported than Serie A itself? Or, you know, if there's a national team tournament on, like European Cup, World Cup, they haven't been in the World Cup for a while. Do you see a lot more Azzurri shirts around than anything else at football games?
I do, but you know what's funny is I don't know how many of them are fans or just because it's a cool shirt, it's a fashion badge in some ways. So I haven't talked to them, but you do see a fair amount of Azzurri shirts. But again, I never know if they're real fans or if it's just like flexing on how awesome Italy is.
True. So do you think Inter can hold on and win this Scudetto, by the way?
You know, it's going to be a great race. I'm excited to see what happens, you know, down the stretch.
Yeah, Napoli. Well, we'll see if Napoli can keep up with them. So as part of your duties, you visit cities around North America, not just the States, also Canada and Mexico?
Haven't been to Canada or Mexico yet, but you know, definitely try and bring Calcio to different markets. In fact, tomorrow we're headed to Miami. We have three events scheduled in Miami over 3 days. We're doing an event in collaboration with the Italian Chamber of Commerce for business leaders in Miami, just to talk to them about the work that we're doing here in the States on Thursday. On Friday, we're doing a CSR event in collaboration with a really great organization called Street Soccer USA. We're doing that at the Pulisic Stomping Grounds with Puma. We've got coaches from Rome City Institute and Serie A Elite that are going to come coach the kids. And then we're doing a career panel with some professionals in football just to talk about to these kids opportunities, you know, if their playing career doesn't get them where they want to be, how they can stay in the sport. And then on Saturday, we're doing a watch party / Fashion of Calcio event in collaboration with Classic Football Shirts at their store in the Wynwood area of Miami. So we're taking on Miami big time this weekend.
Sounds good. I mean, I wish I could get over there myself for that one. So that's the pathway into Calcio for young people dreaming of a future abroad. Is that the Serie A Elite Talent ID camps as well coming
exactly
up?
Exactly, right. So they tour the country and do camps, and kids have the opportunity to win a scholarship to attend Rome City Institute and play football.
And that's between the ages of 12 and 18?
Yeah, that is the age range.
Okay. Do you get around the States much in terms of city hopping?
Yeah, I mean, we've been in Boston, we've been to LA, and you know, hoping to get to more markets next year.
Right, so we're going to have to get you to write a series of recommendations for food when we all come over from Europe.
Well, you know what, I'll let the Italians in the office, because I'm not sure how credible I am in that area.
Okay, well, I know that the Italians can be quite critical, so you can always count on them to avoid certain places and go to the others. But let's finish on something light here. I know that your time is valuable. What's your favorite place in Italy that you've been to?
That's a great question. I've been to Cinque Terre. I thought Cinque Terre was incredible. I love to go to Rome for work. It's just a great city, and just to be surrounded by the antiquities is incredible. I'll always have a grudge against my wife for missing my Leaning Tower of Pisa shot. There's like a good couple inches between my hands and the tower, so I'm hoping to recreate that at some point and get a real
Photoshop.
But I haven't traveled. I'd love to see more of Italy. I'll tell you that the big surprise for me was last year I took my son. We did 3 matches in 3 nights. And going to Bergamo was incredible. Not only the stadium's really cool and the culture, but the ancient city. So that was a bit of a surprise for me. But I'm always surprised at how incredible Italy is, and you know, the different things you can uncover on you know, when you spend more time there.
Yeah, there's always something new. Every little village has something to see. Advice for any cultural fans, any cultural virgins, Americans that go to Italy to watch football? Any little tips you could tell?
I think it's a big tip. Like, go to a match, right? So if you want to see Italian culture, yeah, of course. Like, go to Rome. Of course, you're going to go to the Trevi Fountain, the Colosseum. But find your way to Stadio Olimpico if you really want to experience what Italian culture is really like. Mm-hmm. Like, so many of these games, you know, I look down at my arm because I get goosebumps at just the passion and energy. And I think for American sports fans, the only place you can come anywhere close to that is maybe 5 college football stadiums, American football stadiums in the US. But like, for your average or even, you know, great American football game or basketball, you do not get anywhere close to the energy that you get out of an Italian stadium. So, you know, carve out time and make sure you make it to a stadium, because it's very special going to games there.
Sure, and we'll end up with one last question, and I have to say thank you for joining us again, Andy. Thank you for your time. Considering you've been immersed in Italian culture for a while now, are you getting sick of pasta yet?
Never.
Never. Okay, good to hear. Thanks, Andy, for your time. Andy Mitchell, Serie A North America, joining us here on Destination Culture.
Thanks for having us. I really appreciate the time to talk about the work that we're doing here, and you know, love the passion for the fans, so let's keep it going.
Yeah, Forza Calcio, Forza Serie A North America.
Let us know your thoughts in the comments section. Can Italy actually make the World Cup to help promote Serie A over there and the Italian brand in general? Let's see how Luciano Spalletti goes. Well, big news, Dan's been away in Bologna to interview their star midfielder, Serie A midfielder of the season last year in 2024, Lewis Ferguson. Here's a little bit of that interview.
Before you moved over, did you speak to any of the Scottish lads, like Sinas, for example? Did you sort of like seek their advice or a word before you came over?
Not so much the likes of Sinas. You know, I obviously knew the guys you said, Sinas, Joe Jordan, Dennis Law, legend of Scottish football, not only Scottish football in general. I spoke with Aaron Hickey because Aaron Hickey played here for 2 years before I came, and in the summer when there was interest from Bologna, I was playing with Aberdeen at the time. I was with the national team, so I was with Aaron when the interest came around. So I spoke with him, and you know, everything he said was positive. He really enjoyed being here, and he spoke really positively about the city, about the club, the people, so I took it on board, of course, and it was all positive things, so you know, it gave me a little bit of comfort. Not that I needed it, but it's nice to speak to someone you know, and you know, they pass on their experiences, so yeah, it certainly gave me some comfort.
And did you do that for McTominay and Billy Gilmore this summer? Did they ask you what it was like?
So I spoke with also Shea had spoke to me a little while before the summer. I think he was going to be out of contract, so there was interest from Italy, and he gave me a call one day and, you know, asked about the league, the country, the lifestyle, everything. And I'm a lot more closer with Billy. So I spoke to him a lot before he made his move. And yeah, it was just this similar sort of conversation which I had with Aaron, they had with me. It's just asking questions to see what to expect in terms of the football, and then in terms of off the pitch also what to expect. And yeah, I spoke about my experience, and my experience has been positive, so I passed that on to them, and it looks like they took it on board.
Yeah, they certainly have. And on the football side, what was the thing that you were looking forward to the most when you moved over in terms of playing in Serie A, and what was the biggest, not fear, but maybe the biggest challenge you've encountered from a football standpoint? Because obviously, I, as someone who watches a lot of football, the Scottish Premier League and Serie A are very different. Yeah. You know, one of them is a lot more blood and thunder than Serie A, definitely. So what was the main challenge you faced when you came over, if there were any?
Yeah, there was, of course. There's always challenges in football. First and foremost, when I made the move, I just wanted to become a better footballer. I wanted to play at a high level. Obviously, Serie A is at the top level, so I wanted to play regularly with top level players and also against top level opponents. I wanted to come outside my comfort zone, and I think this is where you improve as a player. And there's not much more coming out of your comfort zone than moving to a different country, different culture, language, everything. And yeah, it's challenging at the beginning when you move, because, you know, I'd never lived outside of Scotland, so you become so used to what life is like back home, and then you move country and it's a completely different lifestyle. Different people, new language, so there's loads of challenges. And of course the football's a really high standard, so you need to try and get to that standard. But yeah, like I said, that after the first couple months, the first months were difficult because, you know, I just arrived. I had a suspension when I arrived for two games, so I couldn't play in the first two games. And then, you know, I was just trying to find my feet to get into the team, which took a couple of months, which I think is pretty normal considering the change. And yeah, once I got in the team, I just never looked back. And yeah, like I said, every day training, just wanted to try and get better, wanted to improve. And I think I've done that the past few years.
So all good in Bologna there? Interesting chat.
Interesting chat. Lewis was brilliant. They gave us 40 minutes of his time, and absolutely fascinating his journey from, you know, growing up in Scotland. And he said he always wanted to play abroad because he wanted to challenge himself, and he wanted to learn a new culture, a new language. And I thought it was telling how he spoke about putting himself out of the comfort zone. And you often hear it from athletes and from footballers in particular, but he can sound like a cliche, but he elaborated on it, and I thought it was genuinely probably one of the most interesting interviews I've done.
I thought it was interesting. Yeah. You know, he was saying he goes back to Scotland, he hears the Scottish accent in the dressing room, but then coming over the other side, he was the one, he never thought about it in Aberdeen, where foreign players would come there and have to assimilate. Now he's the one.
Yeah.
That's a massive experience. It's a growing.
And I do think curve. I do think that's something that we as fans don't really appreciate. Because you look at what players do on the pitch and you think, oh, he's no good, he's very good, whatever. But there's a whole thing that goes on behind that, how you integrate into the dressing room and learning a language and moving house and, you know, assimilating into the community. All that we don't see. And you kind of take it for granted, oh, they're professionals, they have to perform. But there's a lot more goes into that.
Yeah, exactly. I think, on that, I think if you are in a foreign country and you do your job, but you don't speak the language, and, you know, training is over at, say, 1, 2pm, then you've got a whole day to fill, and you are effectively a foreigner. You know, you may not have anyone to communicate to. I mean, he's got his family, so it's a bit different, but, you know, you're a young 20, mid-20 player, and it must be very difficult to assimilate, as you say, into the culture and to sort of, you know, integrate yourself with a different rhythm of life, different, cultural aspects. So fair play to him for doing that.
Especially given his lineage, like the lineage was there in Scotland, Derek Barry, even his cousin. So, you know, it's, I think it's Kyle. So, you know, hats off to Lewis.
Yeah.
He's done really well. He's come over and he smashed it in the first couple of years. Champions League, they look like they're going to get there again.
Yeah.
And Bologna FC are going strong. Yeah. So well done, Dan, on the interview.
They've got like a step in the Coppa Italia final as well.
Yeah, they are. Now they look like they're going to make the final. We've had some comments on your interview, some all good feedback, of course, Dan, because, you know, you're such a likable character. Tommy McFadden
says... The one I've ever said before, but I'll take that.
Tommy McFadden in the comments says, after watching Lewis Ferguson interview, that it's such a great interview, class player. Great to see another Scot doing so well in Serie A. And then someone else actually commented that they're expecting to see McTominay put up for Midfielder of the Year in Serie A this season. And I think maybe if Napoli do win it, could be.
Well, I think
it's definitely in the conversation.
It's definitely in the conversation, yeah.
That's it from me, David Farini, this week with Emmett Gates and Dan Cancian. Make sure you go and check us out on our socials. Dan, handle please.
At Dan_Cancian.
At Emmett Gates.
We'll get subtitles in here. And at David Farini _ for mine. Also, of course, at DSTN Culture. You can find us on X and Destination Culture, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We've got Arrigo Sacchi up in our socials. We've also got Christian Vieri and loads of other stuff, including some Bologna specials. You were there for a few days interviewing him. You went around the town, so we're going to show those. Make sure you get on there and you engage with us. Of course, YouTube is there, big forum there, soaring towards 10,000 subscribers now, guys. So it's good to see. Remember, 3 live Serie B fixtures on the DCTV app every week of the season. Be sure to join us every Thursday on Apple and Spotify for our audio podcast and YouTube, our release every Thursday morning. Make sure you stick with us and engage on our socials. And remember, the destination is always Calcio.